During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Pandemics are nothing new. They used to just call them plagues. They would go from village to village, carried the same way that global pandemics are carried today. Now, back then, you didn't have necessarily shutdown orders. You just maybe left town. You got out of town when people were starting to get sick and tried to find some place where people weren't getting sick. Now, what if you stayed behind? And for those who were Christians who did stay behind, what did they need to hear? What did they need to be praying? What did they need to be singing during a time of plague? Well, we have an answer to that in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me. We're going to be studying that hymn on this Thursday afternoon, October the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Will Whedon joins us. He's pastor, assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you.
As we will hear, this hymn has a rather somber tone. What occasioned it?
Yeah, what a great question. You know, it does have a somber tone because it reflects a very somber time. It was 1563 and the city of Erfurt. And horrible plague was happening. I mean, we've been through a time in our country where we talk about this COVID pandemic or whatever. It's been bad. Don't misunderstand me. But it wasn't like people, you were seeing people dropping dead on the street, right? Like that used to happen with the Black Death. That's kind of what was happening there in Erfurt. And so as it hit the city, some of the people that were associated with the university were able to actually flee the town. They could get out, probably carrying some of it with them, but they got out of the town. And as the university is breaking up, the author of this hymn, Ludwig Helmbold, he wrote that he was an instructor at the university. He writes this for his dear friends, the university's rector and his wife. They were close buddies, and he wanted them to have something to comfort them as they were leaving. And they didn't know if they would even see each other ever again, right? Who knows when you're going to be taken by the plague, by death. So they didn't know if they would meet together again in this world. And he writes this hymn to bring them comfort. So the somber tone very much reflects the actual circumstances in which the piece was written. But despite its very serious, grave nature, it's also replete with comfort. And I think the tune actually confesses both things, the seriousness of the situation and the peace and comfort that nevertheless reigns in the hearts of God's people in these most trying times.
So you mentioned the author. Do we know anything more about him?
Just that he was a lecturer there. I don't think he's known for other hymns, at least not off the top of my head.
So this is a one-hit wonder.
A one-hit wonder. Yeah, I mean, sometimes things happen like that when it's a moment of crisis and you God gives you a gift in that moment to bring blessing and comfort to other people, and it just actually sticks. It reminds me in some ways that there were the two-hit wonders of Philip Nicolai, right? You didn't expect that either, but the same sort of a situation where he writes, "How lovely shines the morning star," or "Morning star, how fair and bright," and "Wake, awake." And he didn't ever apparently write anything else. It was just those. But they're like the greatest of their genre.
What would you say is the primary biblical text? There'll be many we'll discuss, but for this hymn, what's an overall biblical text?
I think most people agree that the overall passage that sort of stands behind this whole hymn are these words from Psalm 73. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you, God. You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I do think that also running right behind that text in the background is Romans 8, the beautiful, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The one who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not freely with him give us all things? All the way through that nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Both of those sort of run the gamut of the hymn.
Here is stanza one of the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me. From God can nothing move me, he will not step aside, but gently will reprove me and be my constant guide. He stretches out his hand in evening and in morning, my life with grace adorning, wherever I may stand.
From God can nothing move me, he will not step aside, but gently will reprove me and be my constant guide. He stretches out his hand in evening and in morning, my life with grace adorning, wherever I may stand.
It's interesting because you hear the title of this hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me, and you think about the author not being moved from God, but he kind of flips that on his head, and God's not moved from him. He will not step aside.
Yeah, I mean, the overall feel of those opening words is, I'm sticking by him because he sticks by me. I mean, that's the feel of how it actually opens up there. I'm not going to move away from him because he will not step aside from me. He's got me in his arms. And yet, though he has me, it doesn't mean that everything goes swimmingly, goes smoothly. So he says right at the beginning that he gently will reprove me. You think about Hebrews 12, right? The Lord loves everyone whom he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Or a little later, our earthly fathers, they for a few days chastened us for their own pleasure, but he, God, chastens us for our profit to make us partakers of his holiness. So there is this gentle chastening or reproving that comes into our lives as we live here on earth. But through it all, he serves as our constant guide. And that, I think, calls to mind the words of Psalm 32. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God shows us the way that we are to walk. And he's convinced that no matter where he goes, God is the one who is actually leading him. I think the most beautiful part is he stretches out his hand. You think about what happens when God stretches out his hand in the Bible, right? Exodus 7, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And though I walk in, it's Psalm 138, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. So God stretching out his hand, he's there in front of you. He's not going to go away from you, and he's stretching out his hand to you. Or Jesus stretching out his hand to Peter on the lake as he's sinking. The stretched out hand is a beautiful image. And of course, you cannot but think of the hand stretched out upon the cross that rescues us from every harm.
You really can't sing this hymn and have a view of God as kind of a distant deity. Mm-hmm. This sounds like he's intimately involved in every detail of our lives.
Yeah, this is definitely the Christian God, not the clockmaker God somewhere, you know, up in heaven, just having set things in place and go off doing his own thing. This is the God who is intimately concerned about his people and who know, I know their suffering, as he said through Moses to the children in Israel and in Egypt.
Is that behind what the apostle says when he admonishes us, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you? He really does care about us in our everyday lives.
Yeah. Yeah, he most certainly does. I've become convinced. I think that's why Jesus said the hairs on your head are numbered, not in the sense of the great data bank up in the sky, but in the sense of he's so close, he can reach over and count them one by one. That's how intimate he is with you.
Stanza two. When those whom I regarded as trustworthy and sure have long from me departed, God's grace shall still endure. He rescues me from sin and breaks the chains that bind me. I leave death's fear behind me. His peace I have within.
And those whom I regarded as trustworthy and sure have long from me departed. God's grace shall still endure. He rescues me from sin and breaks the chains that bind me. I leave death's fear behind me. His peace I have within.
What stands out to you in the second stanza, Will?
If you live any length of time in this world, Todd, death sweeps between you and those whom you could never even have imagined living without, right? Oftentimes the order is first you lose your parents and then you begin losing your siblings. I know that's happened to me. I lost both my parents and I've lost two of my brothers. Many times you live through the loss of a spouse, which is just absolutely devastating. And of course, the most devastating at all when people actually lose children or grandchildren. But what can never be swept away by death is God's grace, the salvation that he gives you in his son. And that's what breaks the chains of sin. And it drives out the fear of death and it fills you with peace because they're not gone. They've gone ahead. And Christ will bring you with them into the light of eternal day. So the sort of scriptures that dance around in my head from this passage, Psalm 27, verse 9, hide not thy face from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He's not talking about father and mother turning their backs on him. He's talking about when they die, when you're left an orphan in this world. Or Romans 4, verse 16, therefore, it is of faith that it may be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Grace that will endure, that is sure, that is steadfast. That's the thing which you can count on when you can't count on the presence of earthly people that have been in your life being there forever. You enjoy them in the time that you have them, and you celebrate that, but you recognize God is going to take them away at some point as he will take you away. And then, of course, Psalm 107, when he talks about it breaks the chains that bind me, I couldn't help but think of this beautiful psalm. Such is it in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. But they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands and sunder. You know, he breaks open the chains that bind you. And finally, his peace I have within, and I leave death's fear behind me. Doesn't that remind you of Psalm 23? Though I walk the valley of shadow of death, I'm not going to fear no evil. None, because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
I'm put in mind of another passage. This is from Isaiah 49. Mm. Can a mother forget her nursing child or have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, but I will not forget you. I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand.
I've graven you on the palms of my hands. That is such a powerful image, especially when you think about the marks in the palms of his hands that were for us.
We're looking at the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. You can purchase Pastor Whedon's books by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, stanza three, the Lord my life arranges, who can his work destroy? In his good time he changes all sorrow into joy. So let me then be still, my body, soul, and spirit, his tender care inherit, according to his will.
Still proclaiming the Word of God during a global pandemic, you are listening to Issues, Etc.
What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at IssuesETC.org, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments, 1-800-325-3040.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
The Lord my life arranges, who can his work destroy? In his good time he changes all sorrow into joy. So let me then be still, my body, soul, and spirit, his tender care inherit, according to his will.
That's stanza three of the hymn From God Can Nothing Move Me. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Well, this is a very rich stanza in terms of its biblical content. What do you find there?
Yeah, I mean, you can almost summarize it by, well, man proposes, but God disposes. We plan the outcome of our plans. It's never in our hands. I mean, you can count on the fact that neither Ludwig nor his two buddies there in Erfurt were planning on a plague sweeping through town and separating them when they had been enjoying each other's company. And so we know that he arranges our life and no one can stand against him and his plans, he intends to turn all sorrow into joy. It's going to happen. The day of the resurrection will be the day of celebration indeed, and the party is never going to end. And so I pray for stillness, for trust in God's arrangement, for the tender care of my whole being. Thy will be done is always the prayer of peace. So if we go to the scriptures that seem to be evoked by this passage, you have Genesis 50, right? the great line from Joseph. As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. God is the one who was actually governing through the circumstances. Similarly, Romans 8:28, we know that in all things he works together for the good of those who love him. Isaiah 35, the ransom of the Lord will return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Joy and gladness they will obtain, sorrow and sighing, they are going to turn tail and run away. And the stillness thing at the end there, Psalm 46, right? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And you've already referenced 1 Peter, but very important point, right? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. Cast all your care upon him. Why? He really does care for you. You can take every anxiety of your heart and throw it on him because he's the one who actually cares for you.
I'm intrigued here by this notion of being still, because you mentioned it is really the expression of faith. It's not just be quiet and be still and know that I'm God, but it is trust me.
Mm-hmm. Trust me, I've got this covered. I've got all things in my hands, every last bit of it. I mean, always I go back to the Joseph cycle, and you can think your way through that. At how many points along the way would Joseph have had to still his heart and say, wait a minute, God made me a promise. It's all going to be okay. He knows what he's doing. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't look like it right now, but he never lies. And I know all things will work together for my good. And they did.
Why do we have such a hard time daily struggling with this? God has us covered in the details of our life. Whatever it is we're worried about, why do we have such a hard time with it?
I think that's the very essence of our old Adam's unbelief, right? I mean, the thing that we have the hardest time actually believing that the scriptures proclaim to us is that he does care for us. And the reason is because you look around you and it never seems to look that way. I shouldn't say never, rarely seems to look that way. You really have much more the experience of the psalmist. Have you forgotten me, O God? Awake, why are you asleep? Don't you care? That kind of approach seems much more real to our daily experience. But the psalmist invites you deeper to say, but stop and look at where it ends. Stop and always look at where it ends. Don't judge the ways of God when you're in the middle. Wait till you see where he takes it. And when you do, you give him praise and glory.
Stanza 4 of From God Can Nothing Move Me. Each day at his good pleasure, God's gracious will is done. He sent his greatest treasure in Jesus Christ, his Son. He every gift imparts. The bread of earth and heaven are by his kindness given. Praise him with thankful hearts.
Each day has his good pleasure, God's gracious will is done. He sends his greatest treasure in Jesus Christ, his Son. In every gift imparts us the bread of earth and heaven, are by his kindness given, praise him with thankful hearts.
What do you find here in this stanza?
Well, this one is actually a reworking by Dr. Gregory Wismar, who was the former chairman of the Commission on Worship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And it disproves the general rule that the original text is best, because the original text of this hymn really was lacking in only one regard. It was not explicitly Christological. And Dr. Wismar more than answered for that, focusing in this stanza on the goodwill of God to give us Jesus and in him all things. You again hear in the background St. Paul proclaiming, he who did not withhold his own son, how will he not with him freely give us all things? He will. And so we praise and thank him from the heart. So a number of scriptures that chime in on this one. That God's gracious will is done, it reminds us from Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, his kingdom ruleth over all. I mean, there is somebody sitting on the throne of the universe right now, right? When everything looks like it's falling to pieces, be at peace, people loved by God. There is one sitting on the throne of the universe, and you know who it is. James 1, verse 17, every good, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's interesting that he calls Jesus here the bread of earth and heaven. So John 6:33, the bread of God is he who came down from heaven and gives life to the world. And Jesus would say, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger, and the one who believes in me will never thirst. And so because he's given you that gift, then it makes sense when he says to you in Matthew 6, so you know, don't take thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, about your body, what you're going to put on. Life is more than that stuff, and the body more than what you put on. Look at the fowls of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet they have a heavenly Father who feeds them, and you are worth much more than that. And then the final call to thanksgiving at the end of the stanza reminded me of Psalm 100, right? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. He's the God whose giving just never seems to stop.
in that sense, is the opposite of worry, not so much just kind of contentment or lack of care, but thankfulness. Instead of worry, give thanks.
Yes, yes. I mean, thank you. I think that is absolutely right. When we give thanks to God, we absolutely drive worry from our lives. You stand before him and you see the gifts and you praise him. How many times in the Psalms do you see this happen where they start out complaining, right? They're complaining to God about some situation. And then there's a pivot right in the middle. And all of a sudden, what are they doing? They're thanking and praising and glorifying him. What is that? That's worry turned into thanksgiving. It's the way to go.
Also in this stanza, since you had mentioned the bread of earth and heaven, there's a very unique connection of that bread of heaven that we partake in, Christ's flesh in the Eucharist, and there's the word Eucharist, and mm-hmm. thanksgiving.
And thanksgiving. Yeah,
talk about that.
Yeah, they're tied together. And it's kind of interesting that in the Eucharist, the bread of earth and heaven actually are, I mean, they cohere with each other. Under the earthly bread, the bread of heaven is given to you to eat. And this gift of God that gives you forgiveness and life and a share in God's own divine life results in this explosion of praise and thanksgiving that began in Jesus and that literally ripples around the world to this day.
I also think about that prayer of Jesus that begins with, I thank you, my heavenly Father. He's talking about his disciples here. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly where that's at.
It's in Matthew 11, you know, that you've hid these things from the from the wise and discerning, and that you've revealed them to babes, meaning his disciples. You know, that was your gracious will.
Is it helpful to see Jesus' life as a life that is an outpouring of thanks to his Father?
Yes, his life is Eucharistic in the deepest meaning of the word. He received everything as gift from the Father, and therefore his entire life was praise and thanksgiving, referring all things back to the Father. And that's really the life that we fell from in Eden, and it's the life he came to plant again into this world, and it is the life into which he summons us to live. I mean, we stumble all the time just trying to live it, but at the same time, under his grace and forgiveness, we are able to give thanks to him for all things.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's hosted the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. We're studying the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me. On the other side of the break, stanza 5. Praise God with acclamation, and in his gifts rejoice. Each day finds its vocation, responding to his voice. Soon years on earth are past, but time we spend expressing the love of God brings blessing that will forever last. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Wheaton's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
This is a message for pastors and lay leaders of Missouri Synod congregations. As we enter the last quarter of 2020, how are you doing and how's your church doing? What has the COVID lockdown done to your attendance and giving? In 25% of our churches, giving's actually gone up. So why are some churches struggling and others thriving? Here at LCMS Stewardship and the whole Office of National Mission team, we have answers and we have help for you and your church today. LCMS.org/stewardship.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're visiting Frankenmuth, Michigan, come to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in nearby Frankentrost. A hardy band of German missionaries founded Emmanuel Frankentrost in the wilderness near Saginaw. At Emmanuel, you can still hear the law and gospel in a beautiful liturgical service, just like those first settlers. For directions and divine service times, visit frankentrost.org. That's FRANKENTROST.org.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, writes St. Paul in his opening salvo to the Galatians. There is indeed no other gospel than that which we taught to you. And that's what the October issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about, the gospel proclaimed to you through the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Praise God with acclamation and in His gifts rejoice. Each day finds its vocation, responding to His voice. 2 years on earth are past, but time we spend expressing the love of God brings blessing that will forever last.
That stanza 5 of a hymn written during a plague, From God Can Nothing Move Me. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Our guest is Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. If you love classical Christian hymns, LCMS Worship has produced free hymn studies at lcms.org/worship, lcms.org/worship. Will, this stanza flows, really, like all of the stanzas in this hymn, directly from the previous one.
It does. It does. And it invites us to ponder what time is actually for. When we do, we realize, wait a minute, praising God isn't a waste of time. Praising God is what God gave us time for in the first place, that we might receive His gifts and acclaim Him. Praise God with acclamation and in His gifts rejoice. And this is the vocation we have each day, to respond to His voice and responding by way of giving praise and thanks. And then he notes this, you know, the swift, the quick passage of years. It doesn't take long. I mean, I don't, you know, this coming weekend, I'm going to end up being 60 years old. And I was like, it sure doesn't seem to me like it's been some 60 years, but it goes boom, you know, so fast. Everything just disappears. And yet there is nothing like those moments when you're in church and you're joining together with the praise of God. And you realize, I'm touching eternity here. Eternity's touching me here. This is what time was made for, and this is what we will enjoy when time is gone. When everything else is gone, this will endure. We will still be doing this. And how glorious that is. A whole pile of scriptures we could point to, but let's just underline a few. Ephesians 1:12. I think this is one of the most underappreciated, not meditated upon passages of that book. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. This is Paul telling the Ephesians, this is your calling, this is your vocation, that you exist for the praise of God, that your life exists to give praise and thanks to God through Christ. Similarly, 1 Peter 2, of course, you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people. Why? So that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Similarly, Colossians 1, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet or worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It just moves on into praise. The normal flow of the epistles, right, is that he starts off greeting them and he can't stop with greeting them without ending up into a song of praise to Christ.
I'm struck by something you said just a moment ago, that we're going to spend all eternity in praise of God, and that Sunday morning is that eternity breaking into this world and mm-hmm. scooping us up, so to speak. But people will say, really? I think I want more out of heaven than just what happens on Sunday morning. We all do, even as much as we appreciate the divine service. We all say, well, I don't know if I want to do that for all eternity.
Well, we certainly know that when we come to the divine service, we're doing what my good buddy Joe Hurl calls practice. This is practice. And our practice is not perfect. That's why we practice. And yet, I think most people have had the experience of being in church where the joy of the day, the joy of the praise, the joy of Christ being celebrated that day simply sweeps them up It is. I think about the great services of like Easter or Holy Week. You know, where you just are gathered into the praise, and you realize I'm touching eternity here, and eternity is touching me. This is like something nowhere else in all the world. And when you have that little teasing taste of it, even if it's just for a moment, you keep coming back to that. I guess in a way, you're like the rat hitting the little button again and again to get that pill back. You're like, I want that light, that joy. That's what I'm after in my life, that touch of the kingdom. And so we go to the divine service to receive it. And if we don't always have the greatest perception of it, we know that whenever we have a perception of it, it's when we're there together.
Speaking of that togetherness, and this hymn has already emphasized this several times, even talked about being taken away, or our loved ones are taken away, but we receive them back. Sunday morning is often a very poignant time for the Christian, when this is where, of all places, they want to be together with those whom they have loved and then lost.
Yeah, I mean, in our church, we have we use the one-year series. So the past Sunday, the gospel was the raising of the widow of Nain's son. And I can't ever hear the reading without hearing my good friend, Charlie Grinstead, whom the Lord took to himself many, many years ago now. Charlie would always, he was this bouncy kind of a guy, and he would always say, oh, I love this Sunday. It's the little Easter in the fall. I love every time it comes around. And I still remember his excitement over getting to hear the raising of the widow of Nain's son and the fact that Jesus wakes dead people easier than moms can wake their teenage sons. And he's like, isn't this the greatest joy? And his excitement over it, it still fills my heart with joy. And yet I look in the room and he's long since been buried and gone. His family's not even there anymore. And yet I remember him, and I remember we're still worshiping together. We're still worshiping together. And he's getting to celebrate the Easter that's not just in the fall. He's celebrating the Easter that never ends.
Now, you've seen it because you stand on the same side of the communion rail as I do. And I've seen it as well, that there are often tears, often tears at the communion rail. And I think we've talked about this. You don't even need to ask what's wrong, because it's not always what's wrong. It's just being granted that assurance that those whom we have loved and died are communing with us.
That we're together, that in the Lord Jesus, there is no distance between us. Yes. And where he is, there they are. They are in him, and we are in him. It's a beautiful, beautiful moment. Yeah, and the tears testify to it every time we see him.
Stanza 6. Yet even though I suffer the world's unpleasantness, and though the days grow rougher and bring me great distress, that day of bliss divine which knows no end or measure, and Christ, who is my pleasure, forever shall be mine.
Yet even though I suffer the world's unpleasantness, and though the days grow rougher and bring me great distress, that day of bliss divine which knows no end or measure, and Christ who is my pleasure forever shall be mine.
What are your thoughts on this sixth stanza?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of unpleasantness that befall us in our sojourn through this world. And there are days you say to yourself, good grief, can things get any worse? And then to your dismay, you find out, of course they can. When the days grow rougher and your distress seems to know no end, then you need to make the move the hymn writer did here. Remember that a day is coming that really does have no end. The worst of times in this age are all bounded. They all have to end sooner or later. Whatever suffering you're going through, it has an end. But not the day when Christ appears, who is forever yours, and who will bring you to this wonderful day, the day that has no evening, in the kingdom of his Father. Yeah, I always go back to this image of the perfect day you had, and you're like, oh, don't go down, son, please don't. This has just been too awesome. I don't want it to stop today. Well, it won't stop on that day. So some scripture passages to think about. just two briefly. Zechariah 14, but it shall be one day, which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at even time there shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters will go out of Jerusalem, half toward the former sea, half toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. You think about the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus on his triumphal day, a day that at eventime there is still light, the day that the light does not go down. And similarly in Revelation chapter 7, I said, "Sir, who are these?" You know, and I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. And the one who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They're not going to hunger anymore. They're not going to thirst anymore. The sun's not going to strike them down or any heat. The Lamb who's in the midst of the throne will feed them. He'll lead them to fountains of living water. And God will wipe away all their tears from all their eyes." That's the day without evening that we're all longing and waiting for in Jesus.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the hymn, "From God Can Nothing Move Me." When we come back, stanza 7. "For thus the Father willed it, who fashioned us from clay, and his own Son fulfilled it and brought eternal day. The Spirit now has come, to us true faith has given. He leads us home to heaven. Oh, praise the three in one." What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. 1-800-325-3040.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The world is filled with darkness now. It's maybe darker than it's ever been before.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Adam Kuntz.
The reason to come to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and to study to be a pastor is so that the light of Christ can shine that much more brightly. It's not a time for retreat. It's not a time for hiding. It's a time to hear the Lord's call and to come out and to serve him, to shine his light into very dark places in people's souls, in people's lives, throughout our nation and throughout the world.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.
For thus the Father willed it, who fashioned us from clay, and his own Son fulfilled it and brought eternal day. The Spirit now has come to us, true faith has given. He leads us home to heaven. Oh, praise the Three in One.
The final stanza of the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues, Etc. We're joined by Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Pastor Whedon has written a column on this very hymn. It was written during a plague in 1563 for the latest Issues, Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. There is a red subscription button on the right-hand column. Click on that, enter your email address, and you'll get the online Issues, Etc. journal. Will, this final stanza, what does it hold for us?
Well, behind everything that your Jesus accomplished for you stands this awesome fact. God the Father willed him to do it all for you. Your Maker wanted you to share his own endless life, and that's why he sent his Son. And the Son, he perfectly fulfilled everything the Father gave him to do for your salvation, and the result is that eternal day, the perfect day, that has no sun going down on it to end it. And when Jesus returns, he's going to bring that day in. And when you get there, you're going to see that the Spirit he sent you to give you faith, he led you all the way home. He didn't forsake you till you got there, till you got to the home where you join in praising the Blessed Trinity forever. Scriptures that sort of stand out to me on it, Isaiah 64, verse 8, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hands." Revelation 22:5, "And there will be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And the Spirit, John 16, verse 13, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will show you the things to come." Meaning not just the things to come before the end of the world, but meaning like the things that are going to come after the return of Christ. He shows you the kingdom, and he makes you thirst and long for it.
Let's listen to the entire hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me. Then we'll get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts.
Destroy in his good.
good time he changes all sorrow into joy. So let me then be still, my body, soul, and spirit, his tender care inherit according to his will.
The hymn from God Can Nothing Move Me. Pastor Whedon, in the middle of a global pandemic in the 21st century, what can we learn from this hymn that was written during a plague in the 16th century?
I had the opportunity recently to participate in a thanking of our vicarage supervisor with a whole bunch of us who had served under Pastor George Pulvaughn. And I just got his thank you note back. And I thought, in one line, he captures the entire hymn. He wrote back, the chances of us, those of us who vicared under him, the chances of us seeing one another in this life are slim to none. The certainty of our meeting at the feet of Jesus is absolute. I look forward to that moment when there will be no more moments, only the presence of Jesus. Your fellow servant in Christ, George Daniel Pulvaughn. I'm like, yes, the moment when there will be no more moments. This is what this hymn invites us to focus on in the midst of trying and difficult times when we think, am I going to be able to see so-and-so ever again? Well, you may not now, but the hymn invites you to remember where you will when that moment that has no more moments arrives.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
If you appreciate Pastor Whedon's insights on Scripture, be sure to listen to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever at thewordendures.org, the LPR app, and your favorite podcast provider, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon. Well, the 44th anniversary of the Hyde Amendment passed recently. We're going to be talking on the other side of the break with Dr. Michael New, visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America, about it. You could own an on-air light from the Old Issues Etc. studio. We're conducting a silent auction. Proceeds go toward the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can place your bid for an on-air studio light by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. We'll announce the highest bid on Wednesday, September 30th, and the winner on Friday, October 2nd.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with healings and opposition, plentiful harvest and laborers, instructions for the apostles, persecutions will come. Fear not. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.